Is it 223?
223. Kind of a big deal. We're getting close to Rogan numbers there. Minus to zero.
Isn't it funny how many people, I think I had it twice this week where someone was like, yeah, anyway, in a Rogan episode.
Rogan.
I think it's just the whole, it's the new podcast thing of like, you're going to go, if you're not sure what podcasts you like, you're just going to go to the ubiquitous one, which is Rogan.
Well, there's also like 2,000 episodes and chances are there's a guest or at least 10 that you like. Like, that's my thing. Like, I've probably listened to a total of maybe 20 episodes.
Oh, I haven't. I've listened to like half of one.
And like three of them, I think, were Kelly Slater. You know what I mean? It's just like a guest that's on that I love. And
what have you been listening to lately?
Podcast wise, I've been listening to a little bit less podcasts since football season ended. Bussing with the Boys, shout out JP. That's probably like the top one that I've been listening to, though.
Yeah.
And then Undrafted Amateurs.
Undrafted Amateurs. Yeah. Well, today we have Patricia Clark. You probably knew Patricia before me.
It's a contest.
Yeah. maybe. I just don't actually remember when I met her.
I don't either. I think it was through Tommy that I met her.
Okay.
I think Tommy was doing a video series for his book.
Yeah.
And I think that was probably first with her.
Well, I think our first meetup was one of those. Like, she had like an agenda, like a topic or something we needed to meet about. And so that was kind of her mindset going in, like, we'll talk about this thing and have the business meeting and then leave. But we instantly connected and had so much to talk about that we just never even hit the actual agenda for the meeting. So that led us to, you know, fast forward, I guess, a couple of years till now. And she's got to be a podcast guest.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah, she has so much. I don't know. She's one of the most genuine people. She's got a lot of like wisdom and insight and good thoughts. But it's almost like any topic is going to be an interesting one with her.
Mm-hmm.
I love those kind of conversations.
I do too. I think it's really fun. And today we're talking about friendship.
That was the funny part. We had 7 topics on the list we were trying to choose from because there were that many things that had come up with her. And friendships, I don't know. We went back and forth. Like, that's kind of sounds weird as a topic.
Yeah.
Like, what about friendships? Like, I don't understand what you're going to talk about. But me and her had kind of chatted for a while about how tricky and challenging friendships can be as like adulting,
mm-hmm.
especially if you know you're meeting new people in a new place, or you're trying to like hang out with people, you all have busy schedules. And so we just got into a bunch of angles of this.
Well, I mean, I feel like I've heard so many people say online, they're like, you just don't meet new friends after college. It's just like, they say that like it's a fact. It is what it is.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I don't believe that. And I don't want to believe that, because you meet a lot of people post-college and friendships are really important to at least my life. And
yeah.
So I think that's kind of what spurred us talking about it. And I think people think about it differently too post-COVID.
Yeah. And honestly, I thought that's why it was really relevant for this podcast, because people who are interested in a lot of things or reinventing themselves, you kind of by necessity, like, find new friends or need new friends. It's not just the, oh, who I went to high school with, we're always, mm-hmm. that's only my group of friends. Well, no, you're evolving. You're kind of getting into new spaces and new things. So what does that look like? And then especially what does that look like once there's like marriage or kids, or, you know, we get into all that. Yeah. So Patricia is an author. She's a host. I guess you can call it like a host. She's a good facilitator and host of gatherings, and she does a bunch of other cool work, creative work out there. So here it is. What we were jamming on was the shared frustration with minor holidays. Remember this?
Yes.
Because like a major holiday, cool, I'm going to travel and be with my family. A minor, like a 4th of July, a MLK day, who am I hanging out with? And we, because we don't have friends. So we look around and we're like, hey, anyone want to do anything? And they're all with actual family and stuff. Who are your go-to people on the minor holidays?
Like, this is my President's question. Day. Who are my friends on President's
Day? Do you have, let's be honest, you don't have any friends on President's
Day. No. You know, it's like following the preschool calendar. Like, they hit every minor holiday. Like, it's enormous. Like, St. Patrick's Day, you know, so yeah. 4th of July is a big one because that one's, yeah. You know, that one's very...
New Year's Eve. Come on.
New Year's Eve is
tough. Talk about like feeling terrible about your life. New Year's Eve, everything about it.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, adult friendships, they are hard. And the tough thing is you look out there and you think everyone has a lot of them, mm-hmm. You know, so you don't know.
Yeah.
Well...
Is it fair to say they get progressively harder with like stages of life?
You know, I don't think so.
I'm asking because you're further along than me. Yeah. You've got more perspective.
I don't think so. I think transitions sometimes make friendship hard.
Okay.
So like every time I've moved, I thought, and by moved, I mean moved 10 minutes across town, right? Like I'm not talking about moving to a different city, but I thought I'm moving 10 minutes across town. Like my friendships aren't going to change. Yeah. But I look back and my entire friend group would change.
Isn't this wild? I remember in college, I lived in a dorm that was shaped like a big H.
Yeah.
So there are two main halls with like, you know, hundreds of people on each and then a connector H in the middle. And we would always talk about like, you know, Joe lives on the other hall. Like I never see Joe.
Totally.
Meanwhile, it's actually a 32-second walk.
But
to
you have
Joe's
to leave
dorm.
The building.
No, you didn't. Oh, it was an indoor connector.
On the same floor.
Yeah. And you would totally lose touch with your friends on the other side of the H.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it speaks to something that like we end up becoming friends with the people we're rubbing shoulders with on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's true. If you're rubbing shoulders with people that you like, then those can lead to friendships. If you're rubbing shoulders with people you don't like, then you're kind of in a tough spot if you don't want to be friends with them.
Yeah.
You have to be more intentional. And how do you become intentional with someone if you're not already good friends with them? You know, that's kind of awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, like, yeah, I had a neighbor across the street and we were seeing each other, getting in and out of the cars. And we kind of had this low-level friendship. And she moved literally to the other end of the street.
Uh-huh.
It's been like crickets.
Well, did either of you have the phrase at any point in your life, DTR?
Oh, yeah.
DTR.
Define the relationship. Yes.
It's like you kind of
need
that. That's
an 80s term, Steve.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, you need a DTR moment of like, yes. So I know we're neighbors. I know we kind of see each other going in and out of the garage. Do you want to like maybe be kind of friends?
Do you want to actually hang out? Yeah.
Would you like to solidify this?
But you don't want to overstep because then it's awkward. You don't want to be needy. I mean, it is
very... Or you don't want to get yourself into one that you're like, I need to get out of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So here's another one. Me and Ashley talk all the time about couple dating because it's another version of this where... Yeah. Okay, married life introduced a new set of challenges to friendships because you've got some friends, I've got some friends, they're in relationships, but we might not necessarily be best friends with the partner or vice versa. And then like you add the kid layer, makes it a little more tricky. And so we're always like, we're couple dating all the time. And we had two couples we recently met where it was mutual. Everyone was like, oh, we should hang out. That'd be fun. So at least everyone was in agreement. But then it feels like we're couple dating.
So tell me more about that. So
you've never couple dated?
Oh, totally. Okay. We have. I more want to hear about, like, if we're talking about adult friendships and we're wanting, I think everybody could use either more friendships or better friendships. Uh-huh. You know, I think we all are kind of looking for a better connection, right?
Yeah.
So when you had your couple date, you're...
See, already it's awkward. Okay.
When you had your date, how'd it go?
Great.
I mean, are people listening on this who were there?
Should I name
them? Are you saying like a double date?
No, you had two.
Or are you
couples.
Like dating double them to see if they can make it to friendship level? What do you?
Yes. Okay. So I'm not sure the timing. Ashley, who was on the podcast.
Yes.
That episode happened last week. So when we met, we were just having so much fun talking, and we were also talking about our spouses, and they were newer to Richmond, and we know what it's like to be a transplant to Richmond, and we both went to University of Michigan, and so anyway, there are all these connections, and at the end, we were like, we should hang out as couples, and so I think I said it first, I'm like, I'm just going to name it, like, we need a couple date, right? And she's like, yes, we need a couple date, because it's different than a double date. It's more like a, hey, we're looking for friends. Are you looking for friends? Maybe we should be friends.
Maybe we should be friends. Yeah, that, you know, I'll be honest with you. That might have been like, eh, to me.
That was too much.
It just feels too much. It feels so intentional. I just think about it as like we're just all hanging out together.
No, I would have been like, oh, they're wanting more than I have available to give. They want commitment. They want commitment. Yeah, that might have...
No, I get what you mean. We're the same way. I think it was just one of those moments where we're both laughing about how we're... something in the conversation made it clear that we're both like struggling to know who we're hanging out with on Friday.
Yeah.
Who we're hanging out with on minor holidays. And it's like, do you want to be friends? Like, do you want to DTR this?
Well, I mean, maybe they were looking for the same thing. So it was a good match, you know, but I know exactly what you mean. Like you want to know, you have to plan ahead and that mm-hmm. takes thought and you want to connect with people. And if you don't have your like go-to, I call these people my hummus friends. Like hummus goes with everything that you eat.
Very true.
And I have a few couples that are like my hummus. Like, I don't care who I'm getting together with.
Yeah.
I can throw them in the mix and they will fit, you know? But there aren't a lot of hummus couples.
Yeah.
There really aren't. So if you're looking for your people, everybody like wants their people. How do you get to that?
Well, and you really named it well earlier. Part of the problem is who we're rubbing shoulders with becomes our main friends,
right?
Because we're naturally around them for the necessities of day-to-day life. So the obvious ones are like, we have kids. So the other kids' parents at our daughter's school, those are our default friends.
Yeah.
Our neighbors, these are our default friends. The people in, maybe it's like work, gym, whatever. And you might love all those people. Like in our case, we're really happy about a lot of those friends. But they were mandatory friends versus chosen friends.
Right.
And so then that's why I ask about age and stage of life, because the older we get, the more we find ourselves with less chosen friends. Like, wow, I really enjoyed talking to you. Let's hang out more. Now, when we were younger, we just started hanging out more.
Yeah.
But now that we have a million commitments all day and we have to choose to hang out, it's not just going to happen because you and me don't have those shoulder rubbing situations together.
Yeah. And I think what happens is you have kids or you're busy, you go through life and you end up rubbing shoulders with all these people on the weekend, but they're not by choice. They're by shared experience, like soccer sidelines, you know, travel, sports.
Yeah.
And if you're lucky, you actually like some of those people.
Yeah.
And then you have the, hey, do you want to have dinner or whatever.
Right. So if 90%,
but that's a big leap. Like when you take it, that's a scary leap.
You're just not ready for it yet. I think
that is a scary leap. Yeah. No.
No, because if 90% of my friends are the non-chosen ones, I just have a greater desire now for some chosen friends.
Yes.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah. I think you have to build into it. And, you know, one of the things that I think I've learned is that, which is why I think that question was a little intense for me. I'm just being
I love it.
Is that
I like that she just made
I think
it.
I have attachment
I also
issues.
Agree.
You do, Joe. I think I have attachment issues. I'm like,
might
oh, they're
the wording of it.
I look
they're
so
gonna
weird
need
now.
Something from me. They're gonna need No, yeah. Is that like I think great friendships, at least in my experience, great friendships are really different than dating. Like when you're dating, you're sitting across from somebody and you're saying, I want to know you and I want to see if we are going to be soul buddies.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we all want a soul sister or like a friend that's like a brother to us. But that happens as a byproduct, I think, of shared interest. So you end up finding something that you're really interested in. Like I have this group that I've been running with for 20 some years. They could not be more different from me in terms of walks of life, age, like where they live in the city.
Yeah.
But because we run together multiple times a week and we just have small talk, we're not even talking about like super intentional things. We have small talk. There's this developed affinity and loyalty that now when things happen in our lives, we are there for each other mm-hmm. in a way that even though we haven't had these like big, deep conversations. And I think those connections that we want that come either from knowing someone for a really long time or from having great soulful conversations. Like I think those are both are ways that we can be close to people is a lot of time spent or soulful conversations.
Yeah.
Those are byproducts of doing things together that aren't sitting across and being like, let me know you. It's like you're facing something outward,
yeah,
together, yeah, parallel.
Yeah.
So that's why I was like,
no, the way I do friendships is I like to sit across the table and just get really deep and stare into each other's eyes.
And then you have to sign a commitment to be my friend.
Yeah.
Right.
But that's interesting. A contract. I love what we're calling out though, because it is funny, but it also calls out the dynamic of maybe why my intense version is more where I'm living right now, is because there in the past, the way friendships happened were those shared connections. I played lots of sports. I did lots of activities. I had lots of places where I'm doing shared interests with each other. At this stage in life, I don't have a lot of that going on. And I also am not in the stage of life where it's just like Friday night. I'm like, hey, Patricia, want to hang out?
Right.
Things have to be planned weeks in advance, sometimes months.
Right.
So
well,
now it's
not
like,
necessarily.
Oh, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, that's where you're at. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Like, so that's the problem is there's never just a, hey, want to hang out right now moment.
Yes.
And so I have to be like really thoughtful about, well, if I want to have friends I enjoy, we're going to have to plan weeks in advance.
Which is so overwhelming to feel like hemmed into that.
And this is a I hate planning.
Yeah, I do too.
I like spontaneity.
I do too.
But this phase, I mean, for me to hang out means I need a babysitter. To get a babysitter means a week in advance.
Yeah.
So like, and 10 other of those dynamics, which means, no, I can't just like drop of the hat.
Yeah.
Be like, hey, what's up?
Well, okay. So I'm going to friend coach you a little bit.
Perfect.
Here. I mean, you career coach me like brilliant. So I'm going to friend coach you a little bit.
Sounds good.
I would say pay attention when you come across times where you're like, oh, I wish I had something to do right now with some mm-hmm. friends. And then ask yourself, like, what would you want to be doing? Mm-hmm. Is it, I heard you talk about sitting around a fire pit. Would you want to be like, I mean, and dream big.
Yeah.
Like, what would you want to be doing? Would you want to be going on a bike ride? Would like,
I want to go on Joe's adventures.
I want to go on his longboard adventures.
To Costa Rica.
Yeah. So, well, or if you, you know,
but
that,
can you help me work through that? Because he didn't invite me. And so I feel like,
I feel invited.
Like I need to DTR with him.
You do. I think you need to think of a way to make yourself useful on that trip. I'll bring you coffee, Joe. I'll bring you coffee.
Patricia's in.
Yeah.
Steve, your turn.
I can cook. I will cook.
Counter offer.
Oh, just even got better.
I'll give you two coffees for 20% stake in your friendship.
I don't like the vibe of that. Back to Patricia.
Joe, who are your like hummus friends? How did you find your hummus friends?
That's
you're
a good assuming
question.
That we like the metaphor, first of all.
I do like hummus. So I don't know if I like the term hummus friends, but I like hummus. So I'm on board for that reason.
Okay.
I feel like a lot of times I'm thinking of a few people now that have moved to town and we were like friends of friends and we have them over or we meet somewhere for dinner and we like hang out one night and then it's just that. And then from that, a lot of stuff have like shot off, like we found common interests. And so I guess I get what you're saying with the couple dating thing, but it didn't feel like any pressure. It's just like, hey, we're having you over,
yeah,
like, talking about the area and these things. And then we find the commonalities because what you were saying, it feels daunting to me to figure out how do I make a friendship with someone? It feels easy and fun to figure out like, here's this common interest. Let's go do that together.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like you have to start doing the common interest and see who's also doing it.
Yeah.
You know, but I think we can be kind of more intentional. I mean, when I was growing up, I don't know what was different, what has changed, but it used to be that people didn't go out to eat all the time
right.
the way we do now.
Right.
And you would invite people over. And I'll just say that I think this is where I learned to experience a little bit of freedom about having people over is that the house that I lived in growing up was never really that clean. Mm-hmm. And my mom was a terrible cook and we had people over all the time. So the bar was so low that I don't have this pressure from growing up watching that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just had people. I came from a big family. I know you did too, Joe. Mm-hmm. And so there was just like people in our house all the time. And I was used to that. But I think in taking the risk to invite someone to your house, and you do have to ask a couple weeks in advance for that. But people really want that.
And I found, I said with those friendships that sometimes we would go out to eat, I realized it's not true. Every single time they've come over to our house for it. And a lot of times we've even gone to Costco and just picked up food. We're like, we're not going to make it a big deal.
Yeah.
We're just going to have people over. We can even play music when people come in. Like it doesn't matter.
And
that's
and spontaneous can work too. Like if you're with, I mean, my mom was the queen of spontaneity in terms of inviting people over, and she would just throw something together or invite people to pick up stuff, you know? So it didn't have to be formal. In fact, I think people sometimes prefer that.
Oh, totally. And yeah, of course I'm joking to make the point about couple dating, but like our favorite friendship right now are our neighbors across the street where we do, it kind of started in COVID where if someone had a rough day, because they work in the hospitals and we're like not making money and everyone's having rough days, kids at home. We eventually just had a code where you'd text like Mexican. We'd get Mexican takeout and meet in the parking lot and just eat and like kids run around. And we still have like kept that going where it's just, it feels like Seinfeld. Like either of us can just walk in the other's house without announcing. And it's so fun. It feels like the only bit of youth left in that area of life.
Oh yeah. I mean, when your kids are little and you're just trying to get by, finding other people who basically don't want to get babysitters and you just co-parent, you bring whatever is in your fridge.
Okay. But let me pose this question because I don't want to gender stereotype this, but I've just like anecdotally heard this consistently from a lot of women in my life, but not from many men. There's this like, okay, but my house needs to like look perfect and be all clean to be a good host to you.
Yeah.
So I struggle with that being from the North living in the South, because I understand there's a cultural element to that that is like polite. But I find that's often a hang up. I've had many conversations with especially women saying like, that's my hang up to doing that kind of thing, because I feel like it needs to all be like perfect to have people over.
Yeah, definitely. And I wish I could say like, oh, just open your door to exactly the way it is and people will be fine. Yeah. And I don't think you, obviously our homes don't need to be perfect. Like that doesn't help anyone. But I have these hacks that I use.
Okay, we need your hacks. Because I have this theory that's like, I actually think your house should be imperfect because it makes people more comfortable. If it's perfect, then they walk in and they feel judged that theirs isn't as good. And now there's a whole like tension in the room.
Yeah, totally. You sound like my sister. My sister does not like cleanliness. She's like so upfront about it. And she always says, she's very artistic. And she's like, it's my community service to other women to invite you over to a messy house.
To make you feel better than me.
She's like, you're welcome.
This is not a popular view. Like. As you go south.
This is not a popular view. But I have hacks.
What are your hacks?
Well, you kind of want to be in sync with the people, your community. So if your community is really perfect and always has polished, perfect houses, that is tough, but it still can be done. It still can be done with some hacks, some cheats. Like, for example, if you have a bathtub and a bath like curtain, throw it all in the bathtub and then pull the curtain shut. I'm serious. And then it's also, this is another one of my hacks, is I really don't like decluttering or cleaning. But if I have guests coming over, I'll get it done.
That's the first thing we do.
I get it done and the whole family chips in too.
Okay.
Because it's like we have a deadline.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're getting it done. And then if you've put everything in the bathtub, then when you pull it out, you're going to put it in the right place. So it's Steve, awesome. This is really not about friendships. This is about cleaning your house. The back end way to clean your house effectively.
I think
so.
This is awesome.
I mean, there's that. Yeah. I mean, there's all these and I also think like anything in life, it's just practice. Like I look back in my 20s and again, because the bar was set so low in my household, I didn't know any better. And I would just have people over. And I can't tell you the number of atrocious dinners I made, like almost unedible. But we still had a great time.
Yeah, you probably had a better time because it just lightens it up and makes it normal.
Yeah, it was fine. You just flow through it. But I've learned, you know, the more you have people over, the more you learn these little hacks. Like if you're in Richmond, I go by Stella's and buy one of those little cups.
Great plug.
You know, and then you throw it on a huge thing of mixed greens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's your salad right there, you know? And so you just, the more you do it, the more you learn your hacks.
Yeah.
But you're not going to learn them if you don't do it.
I feel like just starting to invite people over, like it feels so weird and uncomfortable the first time you do it.
Yeah.
And it's just like doing it. And then the next time's a little, and almost every time I remember feeling incredibly uncomfortable inviting someone over, and then it was an amazing time.
It always is. I mean, there's something so gracious about inviting someone to your home, and it is so rare these days.
Yeah.
It's really so rare. And I also think, so here's another little thing that I've found is that if you, you talked about this on your last podcast, if you want to cultivate more intentional conversations, it is helpful to bring in some kind of activity or topic.
Yeah, well, I want to talk about this because
which is kind of a whole nother level.
But see, this is what's so fun to me about this conversation. You are very intentional about gathering people together, creating spaces that really help connection, having hacks and questions. But like this whole conversation till now was kind of deconstructing like over intentionality. I love that.
Deconstructing you.
Yeah. So you're welcome for making a fool of myself.
I feel I want to apologize for ragging on you.
Jeez.
But
this is my podcast.
I know. But here's the thing. What I love about you is you're one of the most like non-cynical people I've ever met. And I think that's why for you, you can be like so open. You can be like, hey, do you want to date as couples? It's like so, it's so earnest and it's good.
That's
and
why it works, because it's not actually presented awkwardly, but I think that
it works for you, but I had to say that because I don't know if it would work for everybody
when
else.
You were recounting it in the room.
Good recovery attempt.
We
anyway,
just don't want listeners to do that. you can pull it
no,
off.
No, I seriously like that we weren't planning to start this episode that way, but I love that it started that way because of course anything intentionality in that vein of intentionality can be overdone, can make it awkward, can make it pressure filled, can whatever.
Right.
And yet I think this highlights why you're good at gathering people and hosting people, because you are intentional without being overly intentional. Is that fair to say? I didn't think of it that way before, but would you say?
Yeah. I mean, I get super bored at trivial conversation that goes on too long. And I find I have to just start drinking more.
Yeah.
You know, I get super bored at those things. And I think a lot of times we want, you know, we get stuck where we want smaller conversations with smaller groups of people because we don't like small talk. Uh-huh. But then there's some weight that comes from smaller groups of people like, oh, I've got to keep the conversation going.
Yeah.
But if you bring in enough people, there's less pressure to keep a good conversation going, but you don't want to have small talk. So that presents this opportunity, not a dilemma, opportunity for like a topic or something intentional. So you said it, or Sunday said it on a previous episode, it's really good to like name it up front.
Yeah.
And like just this past weekend, we're obsessed with this game called Linky. It's a team trivia game. So it's like not pressured, but it's great for adults, teenagers, college kids. Anyways, I sent this text out and I knew that none of the couples coming had ever played games at a dinner party.
Yeah,
so I knew it was going to be a risk. But I definitely like planted some funny smack talk to like build momentum.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit like a restaurant opening. Like you need to like build the momentum. So I started antagonizing some of the people on the thread and so it built some enthusiasm.
Yeah.
But they knew when they were coming in that we were going to have a 45-minute dinner and then we're going to get down to business of the competition.
I do love game nights.
You know, and it wasn't a board game. Okay. Yeah. This is not like a board game, boring, snoozy. It was a fun team. Like
you just
your
made
voice
some people
is
mad right there.
I'm all for the board game, but I think there are definitely people that aren't like, you have to build into the board game night with people who are invested, you know?
Yeah. You have to all be board game people for that to be a relational connecting thing. But oh gosh, this is so funny to me. This is amazing.
But like my sister is brilliant with friendships. She lives in, and we've already talked about her low bar but she has this theory that if you bring in some form of fun competition or something creative, community and friendships just happen.
This is amazing. I'm tuning in because I need the same thing from the opposite angle.
Yeah.
Like I was hanging out with someone the other day. This is maybe only a coach problem, people who are coaches problem, but it's like then people assume you just are like only about really deep topics. And so we were talking for so long about deep stuff. I was feeling really uncomfortable. Like, we need to lighten this up, but I don't know how to get there. I was trying to like introduce like, so about the weather, you know?
You need like an activity or something light.
An activity.
Yeah. So she does all, she's an artist. So she's always doing these like groups where she'll have people over who know nothing about painting or know nothing about some kind of craft. And she just brings out the cocktails. And like, for example, for the coronation, she had everyone come over and they made fasteners for people's hair, and they had cocktails, and they like walked around the neighborhood to the different people's houses and had a different drink at everyone's house. And they wore the hats.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of fun. It was an activity. It was creative. Now, I mean, you probably think, who has time for that? But there are easy ways to do creative things or competitions, like pull out a board game.
Okay, well, maybe, so tell me if I'm on or off track.
Okay.
But we have a mutual friend you introduced me to, and they had us over for dinner with another couple. So there were three couples.
Right.
And I didn't notice till later in the night that she was definitely, like, she had thought through the evening and was orchestrating it, but so well that you didn't notice she was.
Yeah.
And what she did so geniusly was two things. I'm putting words in her mouth. We can ask her later if this was her strategy. But I noticed after the fact, she had thought about where we were going to be hanging out at different parts of the night, like which room.
Yeah.
And B, she let everything be casual until, like, halfway through dinner, she brought up a specific question that was like a little bit more interesting conversation.
Yeah, I love that.
So like they definitely, it's like when we got there, we're all in the kitchen. We're like kind of at the kitchen bar area. What do you call it? The
island.
Yeah. And, you know, they're pouring drinks. And so it's just like hanging out and it's fun. And then we were outside on the patio for a while. And I think she was kind of like guiding us to those places versus I've noticed like at our house, if we don't guide people to a certain spot, they all land like in the most cramped part of the hallway.
Yeah.
So we kind of have to say like, hey, come in here.
Yeah.
You know, little things like that, little nudges. But then at dinner, we were all just chatting. And then halfway through the conversation, she like asked this really pointed question to me that opened up a really like interesting and pretty deep conversation that we all enjoyed.
Yeah.
But I could tell she had pre-thought it. She was like, I want to take the conversation in that direction. It was what Sunday mentioned. It was like the only thing she prepped was like one question that was going to kind of be dropped in at the right time. I just found that really interesting.
Yeah, I think that's a great host idea to just have a thought that fits with your group that's just going to take it a little bit more intentional. And it makes so much sense that she brought it in halfway through.
Yeah, and very intentional. I mean, we were like spent 2 hours at the bar before like sitting down to have dinner.
Yeah.
Because that was a more like, that felt a little more formal, you know, that not that that has to be part of having people over to your house, but that felt a little more like, oh, okay, we're like sitting in a chair and around a table together.
Right. It's just such a delicate thing. It's like you want to have it casual, but then you want to have a little bit of intentionality. But like you said, sometimes our friendships, if they're too intentional, it can feel a little bit heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Do you, Joe or either of you, do you guys find that you want different types of friendships for different, like you want that sort of deep soul friend, but if you're with that person all the time, you're thinking, I just want to laugh a little, you know, it's
totally
different vibes for people.
Mm-hmm. Yep. For sure.
I also, this is kind of like switching gears a little bit, but I find that what I love is like just being a part of people's normal lives. Like we don't have any kids. A lot of our friends have kids and a lot of times they're self-conscious if the kids are running around or if it's chaos. And we're like, no, we love that. Like we just want to be a part of your normal life. Like we want to show up to this thing you're doing and just have it be normal. And I feel like that's a barrier that a lot of people have. But on the other side of it, I'm like, no, I want more of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that is a barrier for a lot of people. But you're comfortable with that. And a lot of people aren't naturally as comfortable with that. I think that's part of it.
Yeah. And it's hard on the parents. But if the parents, if you're laid back around the kids and you're interacting with the kids, it's so fun to do that. Because then you don't have to get a babysitter. I mean, kids can be a great a great thing because it just makes it less formal mm-hmm. and it makes it more like a potluck. Like, hey, just show up. So, yeah.
And like maybe even outside of the kid example, just like is if Steve has something, like if you're going snowboarding and that's something that you want to do and you just invite me along with it, that's what I love.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I think there's something refreshing about that. Just like being in normal life together that used to happen where so naturally when we mm-hmm. were younger, or especially like college, the yeah. perfect example. I mean, we're literally just doing all of life together. We walk to class together and then we just like decide what we're doing next. And I guess that's what I meant with the stages of life. It feels like you kind of get stripped away from that over time.
Yeah. And I think all of us, I mean, truly all of us have these things that we think kind of disqualify us for friends with this group of people. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to think about introverts or people I know who really are wanting friendships, but are having a hard time entering into them. And I think it's worth thinking like what, like examining your beliefs, like, do I think I'm not gonna qualify for a lot of friends because I'm not from Richmond? Or because, I mean, I can think, you know, I don't, for women, a lot of times, like, I don't have the right clothes or I don't look the right way or whatever. So we have these disqualifying beliefs. And I think it's those are definitely worth challenging because usually those are pretty significant barriers that are not true.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Especially the Richmond thing. I hear that a lot. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not from Richmond, therefore. So
it is very fascinating to me, the cities that have that dynamic versus the ones that don't.
Yeah.
It's a thing. I do think it's more common among mid-sized cities.
Yeah.
Because you've got, I don't know the percentages, but it feels like you've got kind of an equal balance of natives versus transient.
Yeah. And the other thing I thought about is, do you find that you are click with a certain age group better than others?
Yeah, probably.
You know, I mean, do you click? Probably some people don't necessarily click so well with their own peer group, but they might with older people or they might with younger people.
For us, it's like 5 to 10 years older than us is probably where most of our friends are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. Similar bucket for me. I mean, that's always one of my personal imposter syndromes is like, I'm usually the youngest in the group we're with, but yeah, I click more with that. What about you? Do you have a...
Yeah, I noticed this because we were hanging out with a group of people with my husband. We were invited to this party and they were all probably 15 years older than me. And I came home and I was just having that, what do you call it? Like, emotional hangover. It's not like,
oh, yeah.
You
yeah.
know what I mean? Where you're like, I said this dumb. Yep. I said this dumb. I'm such a loser, you know? And he just said to me, you know, you can't be good with all types of people. And I realized like with people who are about 15 years older than me, unless I have something in common, mm-hmm. a shared interest, I'm just always awkward. I have to accept that about myself. Like everything I say is lame. It's like an awkward space for me.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Whereas if you put me with people who are 15 years younger, it's my jam. I love it.
Nice.
Yeah, it's just really fun. And so he was like, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But the awkward thing for us is he's the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So he's great with people 15 years older. So then we got to navigate that.
Oh my gosh.
So.
Okay. In a funny way, like we started out with like hyper intentionality couple dating. But I think
I feel bad about that.
No, I actually think that was perfect because a theme has been like chill out and just like lower the bar
for
yourself and others. Just have people over. Just like start doing a common interest thing. Like just stop putting so much pressure on it. I feel like it's part of what we've been saying too. That.
Like lower the bar and then do it.
And just
do it. Yeah, lower the bar. And there is a taking the risk to just go out and invite, to ask for what you want. And then I do think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to make it perfect.
Yeah.
And it's so nice to just remember that it's just the being together, which is the goal, you know? So if it doesn't go well, but you're still together, then it's a win. So one is just ask, you know, invite them over, ask. But the other is, you know, for your neighbors is asking for help.
Yeah.
I think it's so hard for us to ask for help because we have this like misconception that people are drawn to us if we're perfect. And it's What's crazy is it is literally the opposite.
Literally the opposite. We had it very recently because over the holidays, there was a lot of, and with our neighbor friends, we both took turns kind of just watching the other's kids because we both knew there was like so much we needed to get done or like, and it did, it kind of took it to the next level of, oh,
yeah,
okay, we don't need to perform for each other or something. This is just like, we need each other. We can help each other.
Yes, it's literally just the opposite. And I don't know where we get into this, where we have to be perfect. Now, I mean, I will say, you don't want to be like a full hot mess with everybody. You're just kidding. Like that can go too far, you know. But
we're going to need a visual diagram of adult friendship map.
A little bit of a hot mess, but not too much.
Okay, but just help us land the plane here. Okay. Like, how would you summarize this conversation? Because I know there's not necessarily some formula or advice.
Right.
But what is your takeaway here? Like, how would you?
Yeah, well, I know that we all crave friendships and we have agency to make that happen. Whether you're an introvert, whether you're an extrovert, we all have agency. And Joe, you mentioned this earlier about identifying the kind of friendships you're longing for and create some kind of activity that makes that happen.
Yeah.
If it's fun, think of the things that you like to do that are fun and then go do them and you'll meet some people or invite some people who are interested in that.
Yeah.
If it's more intentional, you know, book clubs or like church groups, and those are more conducive to intentional conversation. And it does take some thought.
Yeah.
But it's not that big of a deal. You just have to throw a date on the calendar.
I do love that though, because I think we are all, even us three in the room, like we're all in different places of the kind of friendships that we want or need right now. And then and I'm sure listeners are in other flavors of that in their life. So that's a helpful framing, just like what is the thing that you're wanting or craving or missing, and just kind of lower the bar and take a step to make that happen.
Yeah. And I think people just love to be invited. They really do. I mean, we talk about people who are not from Richmond and people who are outside of Richmond. I grew up here have generations here. But when someone invites me to their house for dinner, that's really something. You know, I love that. Yeah. If someone says, hey, let's meet for a drink, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, that's cool. But something about someone inviting you to their home is just, it's great. It doesn't matter if you've got a ton of friends or not at all.
Yeah. And it doesn't need to be, well, we're going to throw the party for the whole neighborhood and invite everyone. Yeah. It doesn't have to be a big thing.
Right.
No, it can also just be one person. Hey, do you want to hang out?
Yeah.